Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rob, I can't get over that story that we just heard. Like, I still am flabbergasted at the story that we just heard. A lot of people are saying that's the plot of the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix. I've never seen that movie before. I was aware of it. Have you seen the movie Her before?
I have not actually seen Her. I know it won a bunch of awards, but I never saw it.
That's the plot of the movie? Like 100%? That a man is in a relationship with artificial intelligence while having a baby mama? That they live together? If that's the kind of movie, sign me up, because I will watch Her tonight, actually. Later today. It's not just the relationship with the AI. It's that he already is in a relationship. He already has a girlfriend and then has a fake girlfriend. Wild story. Let's go to the phone lines. Vern, what an entrance, Vern.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. You're hilarious.
Vern.
That's kind of the premise of Her. He does not have a baby mama.
I mean, this story, I don't know if you were listening just a few seconds ago. It's one of the, I will send you the TikTok so you can watch it. I've never heard a story like this.
I feel like those kind of things are going to start popping up more and more, man.
He was in a whole relationship with the app on his phone. Honestly, it blows my mind.
Yeah, I think that, anyway, yes.
No, you're fine. Vern, there's so much to talk about since the last time that you and I
have
spoken.
Let's talk about the Royals. Yeah.
I mean, that also might not be a real relationship, if we're just being honest, if we're going through it.
I got like an eye twitch going. I've been grinding my teeth, man. It's been a very abusive relationship lately.
All right, it's been a lot. All right, let's start with this thing. Let's maybe start positive, and then we'll go from there. Have you ever seen a player hit a home run like Aaron Judge hit?
Not in that direction. Not at Kauffman Stadium in that direction. Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani put one just as deep to dead center while I was in attendance. But no, I've never seen one hit there from anybody, batting practice or not. No, that was impressive. And again, that's something that 20 years from now, no matter how 2025 ends for the Kansas City Royals, I'll always remember that in what might be Aaron Judge's finest season, I saw him go deep twice, including hitting one of the three furthest home runs in the StatCast era.
I mean, that might honestly be the best thing that happened at Kauffman Stadium this past week. Like, when you really think, and a lot of things happen at Kauffman Stadium. I mean, Alex Gordon.
On-field stuff, like not before, celebrations.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, everything used to be.
There was a lot of stuff that happened. That might be, like, number one on the list. I made the analogy earlier. It's kind of like this week was like Meet the Parents. I love Meet the Parents. A very exciting movie. It was everything that could go wrong did go wrong. He lost his luggage. He burned the altar. He blackened his sister's eye. Like, everything that could go wrong went wrong. For about 10 days, everything that could go wrong for the Royals has certainly went wrong for them.
Yeah, Cole Reagans lands on the IL. You do get Lucas Urseg back. So that's good news. Man, I'm trying to find something. I mean, I think having a players' meeting also fits into that, and then losing the very next game after the players' meeting. That, to me, also fits in the Meet the Parents analogy. No, a lot of negativity. Listen, here's more than 160,000 people turned out at Kauffman Stadium over the course of that six-game homestand. That was nice to see. Now, unfortunately, they didn't get to see their favorite baseball team win a single game or really have any confidence that the team was going to win a game at any point. I mean, it was nice on Sunday. You took that 2-0 lead as Bobby and Vinny came through in a big situation, something that this team, as we know, has struggled mightily in. But it kind of felt like we all exhaled after that third inning 2-0 lead, as if there wasn't six more innings where you needed to stop the opposition and, I don't know, add on a few more runs. Royals don't do that. They lose 3-2. Yeah, it was a forgettable forgettable homestand, and now it sets up a formidable road trip that begins with a game where you feel as if you have the advantage on the mound, Seth Lugo going opposite Jack Leiter. But outside of the starting pitching, again, I don't know where you have the advantage. So tonight, to me, begins with Seth Lugo. If you're waiting for the offense to outslug the Rangers, Royals' defense is really good, but the Rangers' defense is pretty solid as well. You know, for as much pressure is, and deservedly so, is on the offense, that pressure only becomes magnified or really paid attention to so long as this pitching staff can return to form. You know, calendars flip to June, and this pitching staff is not only unable to drag this offense across the finish line to victories anymore, but it's also beginning to regress to the mean somewhat. Of course, the loss of Cole Reagans adds to that, and they're still a really good pitching staff. They're just not clearly the best in the American League anymore, and I think that's been reflected in the fact that they've lost 10 straight games as home favorites. Games in your ballpark where everyone's expecting you to win because you have the better pitcher, because you're the better team. Royals have lost that game 10 straight times.
I mean, it's just all of it. Like, when you throw all of it in the pot, where I know you and I have talked about attendance, and sometimes we kind of challenge fans to go out there. Hey, this is the game that you should show up. Royals fans did that. I mean, they got 30,000 people on a Tuesday at Kauffman Stadium. They don't do that very often out there. And for them to lose every game this week, for them to get swept by a team that lost 14 straight road games, for them to score 11 runs over a six-game homestand, like, it was just a combination of everything. The fans, I think, have done their part. They've come out. They've supported. They have bought into it. They got excited about the top prospect. They got very little in return from the organization this week.
Sure, but I will, serving as a, my dispatch from Kauffman Stadium, talking with the fans before and after games, not only on the radio, but off the radio. The people that are showing up aren't waving the white flag just yet. I understand what social media and the text line I understand social media and the text line might be waving the white flag, talking about selling this guy, trading off that piece. But for the most part, Royals fans can at least acknowledge that things could be a lot worse. And they're appreciative that this rotation has been so very extraordinary, allowing time for guys like Bobby, Vinny, Salvi. And, now as we're 72 games into the season, C-Dot, for as much pressures on the offense, for as much as we talk about Bobby and Salvi and Vinny and how important they are and what you need from Jonathan India and Michael Garcia, man, we can't accept any regression from you. For as much as the blame falls on the hitters, as we get into the month of June, to me, some of that blame is now starting to shift. Instead of it being 100% on the hitters themselves, some of the blame for this being the lowest scoring offense in Royals franchise history, some of that blame is now beginning to shift to the front office, ownership, and general manager and the rest of the front office and their decision-making of when we're going to pull the trigger and try to help these guys. So, again, almost, next Thursday is the halfway point of the season. How much longer can you and I have the same conversation of, well, Bobby and Vinny and Salvi need to pick it up and they need to be Herculean for this offense to get back to their form from 2024? Eventually, they're telling you, we can't do it again this year. We need some help, and it's on ownership in the front office to deliver that help.
Are you sure that help is coming? Because I'm looking at the Royals right now. They are at a crossroads. Like, you could tell me anything happens. Like, right now, if you don't tell me how the rest of the story goes, I could believe that the Royals are sellers at the deadline. I could believe that the Royals are buyers at the deadline. I could see the Royals not making a move and just simply waiting to the offseason to address some of these issues. We have talked so long about this team 100% going out of move to go and get some reinforcements. I mean, they're 11 and a half games back in the division. They're in a race with 7 or 8 teams to try to get the second or the third wild card spot. I don't know if it's a given that they're going to go at a bat in a couple of weeks.
There's going to be a ton of egg on their face, because what the hell are you doing calling up Jack Caglione and punting on a year of service time if you're going to wave the white flag less than 2 months later? Foot on the gas pedal. You need to be aggressive. And that's why I think some of the pressure is beginning to shift from the players themselves to the decision makers within this organization. Now, would I be shocked if they're sellers at the deadline? No, because injuries could always pop up and kind of force your hand, especially with someone like Seth Lugo, where you might be able to cover it. We saw the Detroit Tigers a season ago trade off Mark Canha. They traded off a bullpen piece. They traded off Jack Flaherty, and they still made it to the postseason. So, you know, Seth Lugo is a possibility to be on the move regardless of how the next month and a half go. The only thing I can't envision is them doing nothing. In a market like this, with the talent that you have, you can't afford to do nothing. You need to buy or you need to sell. Standing pat after making that move with Jack Caglione, to me, would be awful.
Right now, we're joined by our Royals insider, Josh Furnier, getting his thoughts on all things with the Kansas City Royals. I feel like we've had this conversation, but one part of me is just, I am a little perplexed at how we got to this point. Last July, last year at this time, the Royals offense was pretty good. The Royals offense was pretty viable. Right now, they are the 29th ranked offense. They have only scored more runs than the Pirates, and they're five ahead of them. The Rockies have scored more runs this year than the Royals. The White Sox have scored more runs than this team. Like, their offense is bad. How did this thing get so bad so quickly with this offense?
Well, like we've talked about so many times, like I've pointed to basically every single time I've been on the air with you, it goes back to runners and scoring position. You know, last year, the offense wasn't good, C-Dot. It was middle of the road, and the only reason why it was middle of the road was because Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby were Herculean, right? I mean, Bobby was an MVP candidate. Salvi and Vinny were two of the 15 best hitters in all of Major League Baseball in clutch situations with runners in scoring position. Vinny was one of the top five in the sport. I mean, it's him, it's Juan Soto, it's Aaron Judge, it's Bobby. Vinny was one of the 10 best hitters in the sport last year. This year, he's been one of the 20 worst in those clutch situations, and so has Salvi, and the supporting cast has not grown around them to support them. So you're having regression from the three guys that did it all last year, and no one outside of Michael Garcia is attempting or is achieving any sort of balance to that. Is doing enough to offset that? Coming into the season, some of the power that you would that we all knew this team was going to need to support Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, the power from Renfro, MJ, and Michael Massey. We're 72 games into the season. The team was probably expecting 25 home runs between those three, MJ, Massey, and Renfro at this point of the season, about 25. They got three, right? Massey's hurt, MJ's in AAA, Renfro's, who cares where he is. So that's how we got here. So the offense was never good last year. It was carried by three guys. Those three guys are yet to really show up this season. No one else is picking up the slack, so that's how you end up dead freaking last.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Furnier here for a couple more minutes, just getting his thoughts on all things Royals. What did you make of the report that we saw earlier today that the Royals are having conversations about trading Seth Lugo? What did you make of how quickly JJ came out and shot it down? And also, Sam Mellinger came out pretty quickly and also shot it down. What did you make of the morning of Royals reporting?
Well, I didn't hear about it or see it until I was listening to Cody and Gold, and they brought it up to JJ. I was unaware of it. I try to stay off of Twitter. It wasn't a report once I went back and looked at it. It was someone saying, I'm hearing. So that's not reporting. That's just throwing stuff against a wall. Do you know? I mean, I don't even know the dude's name. I don't know if he's from a reputable source. So I don't pay much attention to people that I don't know that aren't from a reputable sport, right? I mean, I clicked on it. I forgot his name, but I think it said he used to work for the AP. Yeah, I don't really pay much attention to what whoever that dude was.
It is Mark Keeley.
But of course, I mean, if the point is, do the Royals have is it possible to move Seth Lugo? Well, yeah. I mean, do we think this organization is being run by idiots to where they have no long-term vision? Not only years from now, but you're telling me they can't even fathom the idea of trading Seth Lugo or Salvi or Michael Lorenzen or take your pick? Like, they haven't already discussed that as we're a month and a half away from the trade deadline? the whole thing to me was pretty stupid.
All right, a couple more things here, Vern, and we appreciate your time. Number one, do you think we'll see a move with the hitting coach? We were kind of having some fun with this earlier, that there are normally things that are kind of highlights of a bad season. Whenever fans start complaining about the offensive coordinator and who calls plays, that's normally the sign.
Yeah.
Whenever there is an argument between a coach and a media member for a question that they ask, it's usually a sign that things are not going well.
Yeah.
Also suggesting that the Royals should fire their hitting coach or their pitching coach, that is normally, you know, we can't get too mad at Bobby Witt Jr. We know they're not going to get rid of the manager, so we got to find somebody to blame this on. Let's blame this on the hitting coach. Do you think they'll make a change?
No. I think you nailed it on the head. Listen, for those that do want Alex Zumwalt, who is one of the three hitting coaches on this team, for those that want him gone and replaced, and I mean, you do care what the players want, right? You do want to keep a guy like Bobby Witt Jr. happy. You know, Alex Zumwalt and, you know, Keone, Joe Dillon, these guys have made relationships inside that clubhouse, and some have formed very strong bonds with these guys. And to act as if cutting them out of the clubhouse is an immediate boost, again, to me, it just shows that a lot of people don't know about the relationships that Zumwalt's built over the years inside that clubhouse, within that organization. And listen, I'm not saying those are the reasons why he's staying. He deserves the job. But I'm saying those relationships are why he is right for the job, and why, in my opinion, he should keep the job. And we should look at the guys like Bobby Witt Jr., who in the month of June has been a league average hitter. I mean, how many games did you guys expect to win with Bobby Witt Jr. as a league average hitter? With Salvi and Vinny being one of the, you know, 25 worst hitters in Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position. I don't care if Pete Rose rises from the dead and becomes your, you're not going anywhere unless those three guys at least perform well. And right now, Bobby's barely performing well. Vinny's not performing well enough in the big moments. And Salvi's been anything but consistent. If those three things continue, yeah, we will be talking about selling in a month and a half.
That is our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. Vern, we were asking people this question yesterday, so we'll ask it to you today. Can you offer up a sort of hidden gem restaurant that you and your wife like? Not one of the staple restaurants. It doesn't have to be a barbecue restaurant, but there's a place that you and your wife like to eat. Tell people where it is.
See, but man, I'm such a, even though I've been here for a while, I feel still such like an outsider, because I know there are multiple locations of this place, and maybe it's Dove or, and everybody knows, Rancho Grande Cantina. That's the go-to. If we both have a night off, it's right up the road, and they just nail it every time.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. Vern, we appreciate you.
All right, thank you, C-Dot.
Absolutely. That is Josh Vernier joining us on the show today. Always great to catch up with Vern. Rob, I don't think that you and I have ever discussed this topic before. I try not to judge people. Like, you're allowed to live your life. And I also understand that everybody has, like, different experiences. So just because you don't love 90s Nickelodeon the way that I do, or maybe a good 2000s teen movie, doesn't mean anything. Like, you just had a different experience. You had a different life. I can't judge you for that. That's perfectly fine. But I have started to realize in my old age, Rob, what I am starting to judge other men by, other men who consider themselves to be sports fans. If you don't like sports, that's perfectly fine. I get it. If you just can't sit around with the bros and just randomly throw out names of past athletes for a given team, and that just be the activity for a time, I don't know if you're my kind of guy. Rob, how many times have you and your friends just been sitting there, and you and your friends start randomly talking about obscure Kansas basketball players and just reminiscing? It doesn't really have a point. It's not a meaningful conversation by any way, but you and your buddy sitting there having a beer and discussing Kevin Young when he played for the Kansas Jayhawks, for some reason, it just puts a smile on your face. Today, you and I were randomly watching Kansas football highlights from the mid-2000s. I don't know how this appeared on my computer screen. And you're sitting here talking to me. Who was the quarterback of the 03 Kansas Jayhawks?
Bill Whittemore.
You were having your own nostalgic trip down memory lane. You were telling me, oh, I remember that game. We're sitting there watching the highlights from it, and you're telling me what's about to happen. I'm sitting there, and I can't believe that you have such a great knowledge of the 2003 Kansas Jayhawks. I'm not saying that you need to be the biggest sports fan of the world. I'm not saying that you need to be able to recall every stat or everything that's ever happened. I'm not here quizzing you. But if you and I can't have a conversation about Chuck Knobloch when he played for the Kansas City Royals, I don't know if you're somebody that I want to hang out with. If you and I can't bond over Emil Brown, I don't know if that's somebody that I need to be hanging out with. If we're talking football and I can't mention a Boomer Grigsby and you look at me confused, you don't know who he is, I don't know if you and I should be having a lot of Chiefs conversations. There was this TikTok trend that people were saying before you give a basketball opinion, you need to say who won NBA MVP the year that you were born. And some people were like, Derrick Rose, I shouldn't be talking NBA basketball with you if you were born the year that Derrick Rose won the MVP. If I just randomly throw out a football player and you look at me with such confusion, maybe I shouldn't be talking football with you. Maybe you're not equipped to be having this conversation. This just feels like a bonding activity amongst friends that I'm willing to play at any time in the group chat, around the grill, while watching the game. Yesterday, me and my friends, we had just an hour-long laugh of just seeing who could name random Indiana Pacers. Random Indiana Pacers after they lost. It was such an enjoyable experience for me. I just want to tell you guys that. Because if you don't have that kind of relationship with your friends, are you guys really friends? Are those really the bros? Are those really your guys? If you are having a random Royals conversation and you mention Michael Tucker and they look at you with such confusion, are they really Royals fans? I don't know.
Maybe this makes me and my friends, super losers, but when doing this with the Royals, we like to point out trades that really blew up in the Royals' face. You're never going to be like, hey, remember how they added, this one guy, they went out and got Cueto. Wasn't that great? No, we don't talk about those trades. We talk about very small trades that were bad. We talk about things that went wrong. Do you remember when they traded so-and-so for a prospect who didn't pan out? Remember when Beltran was part of the Mark Tian, Mike Wood, and John Buck experiment? Remember when that was the game plan? That's part of the fun as a Royals fan, is naming random trades and being like, oh, they got nothing back for him. Remember when they traded the artist formerly known as Leo Nunez? I forget his name now.
I do remember Leo Nunez. Yeah, I do remember.
I mean, it just, those are the kind of things. Or, hey, remember how they added Kyle Davies to the staff? They traded Octavio Dotel, RIP. Those are the kind of things where me and my friends really enjoy a good conversation about the Royals. Hey, here's some bad trade history that they went through.
Text line 913-586-7965. The text line is giving you a lot of credit for your knowledge of Kansas football. Do you know who the quarterback was before? What was the guy's name again?
Before Bill Whittemore?
Yeah, who was the KU quarterback before Whittemore got there?
0102 would have been Mario Kinsey.
Okay.
Mario Kinsey.
Let me look this up. Is this the 01 or the 02 Jayhawks? Let's test your knowledge here and see if you know.
Well, Mario Kinsey would have been 01 because he played on the basketball and football team. I remember Mario Kinsey. 02 is, it's Dylan Smith.
Okay, I'm looking this up. So Bill Whittemore, he was the quarterback for the 2002 team.
Yeah, he was on both those teams. And
yeah,
then
that KU team went 2-10 during the
Mangino's first year.
Yeah, 2-10. I mean, just, you know. What's old becomes new again. This was Terry Allen. Allen got fired in the middle of the season. Do you remember who he got fired for? Do you remember who replaced him and was the interim coach? KU went 3-8 this year. They went 1-7 in the old Big 12 North.
I do not remember the guy.
Tom Hayes was the interim head coach. You are right. Mario Kinsey was the quarterback. They also had a Zach Dyer. Are you familiar with the Zach Dyer?
Yeah, there's a K-State fans know this photo better than KU fans would. There's a famous photo of Zach Dyer just getting wrecked by some K-State players at a very wet, empty Memorial Stadium as K-State, shockingly, in 01, pummeled Kansas.
No, they pummeled him. Mario Kinsey that year, he completed 43% of his passes, 7 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. So, no, actually, you know what? A lot of things make sense. My mind doesn't have any memory of the 2001 Kansas Jayhawks football team in which Reggie Duncan led them in rushing with 739 yards. I completely forgot about Roger Ross, who led them with 493 yards receiving. No wonder this KU team was bad.
Yeah, that, I mean, it got Terry Allen run. So, yeah, there's not surprisingly, that team was very, very, very bad.
That season, Kansas lost to Nebraska 51-7. They lost to Texas 59-0. They lost to Iowa State 49-7. And you are right, K-State beat them 40-6. This was in a month stretch. In a month stretch, Rob, they got beat 40-6, 51-7, 59-0, and 49-7. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense why the coach is like, hey, you know what? You can't be here anymore. You should find something else to do with your time. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by the Kansas City director for the World Cup. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, a couple of things. We also want to play for you guys what J.J. Piccolo had to say earlier today on the station about the Royals. We also are going to hear from the Kansas City director for the World Cup. She will be on the show coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Let's start with what Vern just said. Vern was on talking about the Royals. He doesn't believe that the Royals will be sellers at the deadline. Here's why.
Well, there's going to be a ton of egg on their face because what the hell are you doing calling up Jack Caglione and punting on a year of service time if you're going to wave the white flag less than 2 months later? No, foot on the gas pedal. You need to be aggressive. And that's why I think some of the pressure is beginning to shift from the players themselves to the decision makers within this organization. Now, would I be, shocked if they're sellers at the deadline? No, because injuries can always pop up and kind of force your hand, especially with someone like Seth Lugo, where you might be able to cover it. We saw the Detroit Tigers a season ago.
I don't want the Royals to make a all-in move like they're ready in 2025. I am perfectly fine if the Royals go out and make a move and try to add to the team. But we all know there's different kinds of moves. The Royals in 15 made a, we're trying to win the World Series now. We don't know if we're going to sign Ben Zobrist to a long-term deal. We don't know if we're going to sign Johnny Cueto to a long-term deal. That's not the goal of this move. The goal is we got a team that's ready to win a World Series, and we're ready to trade some of our future assets to try to go win right now. I don't want the Royals in 2025 to go get Ben Zobrist or Johnny Cueto. I don't think they're a World Series team. Now, if the Royals are thinking to themselves, well, in free agency, we tried last year to go make a move. That move was not there in free agency. Now let's see via trading somebody on our major league roster or now being willing to part with a prospect. Let's go get a bat that we think can start in right field for us on opening day in 2026. If that's their mindset, great. But I don't want the Royals to kind of convince themselves that they're in it when the percentages would tell you that you're just not really in it. You're not really in it for the division. We are talking about what, at best, you be in the second wildcard team, and now you got to try to beat out. I mean, there's seven teams fighting for two spots. I mean, the likeliness is that the Royals probably are not making the playoffs this year. I don't know if they're going to be able to fix their offense with enough time to try to be a team that can compete for one of those playoff spots. But again, if their thinking is beyond, hey, let's go try to find a left fielder or a right fielder that we can think can help us a little bit this year, and next year we'll go out in free agency, we'll spend a little bit of money, we got this person, and we can transform our offense that way, that is something that I am all for. But what I don't think, what I don't want the Royals to do, or what I don't think a lot of these teams to do, is you cannot lie to yourself about where you are in the process. The Royals in 2015 didn't have to do that. It was obvious based on what they've done on the field, what they needed to go out there and do. I'm not really sure if it's obvious yet with the 2025 Royals what they should be able to do. We'll get back to the Royals coming up in just a bit. Before we do that, I want to read for you guys a couple of quotes from Hollywood Brown. The first quote says, quote, "I really leaned in on my faith." This is regarding his comeback in 2024. "I didn't come back expecting anything. I was really just grateful that I had the opportunity to come back." He also was asked, what's his goal for this year? He said, "God willing, a healthy season. That's my number one goal, just really being able to showcase what I can do." It is a little bit surprising that the Chiefs got Hollywood Brown back really in any capacity last year. I mean, he had a pretty substantial injury, and he didn't get a whole lot of time. He only had 9 catches last year. Now, I'm not going to hold too hard against him what happened in the playoffs. You just didn't have a lot of time to kind of get up to speed. The fact that you were able to contribute at all, I think, is a positive. I mean, these last 3 years for Hollywood Brown, something has just gone wrong in each of those years. In Arizona, he only started 10 games. He had 700 yards receiving. In Arizona, his last year in Arizona, he had 51 catches for 574 yards. Last year, an injury happens in preseason that kind of derails his season, and basically, you can call it a lost year. Man, it's been a while since Hollywood Brown was that guy. In 2021, he was good. 91 catches for 1,000 yards, had 146 targets, had a handful of touchdowns. I think that's the version that Chiefs fans are kind of hoping and expecting to be able to come back for Hollywood Brown. This is a really important year. He's not really young anymore. I mean, he's 28 years old. That's certainly not old, but we're talking about a guy who is now heading into his 7th season in the National Football League. I know, it's happened really quickly. It feels like it was just yesterday Hollywood was playing for Baltimore. He hasn't played in Baltimore since 2021. So you now played for 3 different organizations. You've had a handful of different coaches, a handful of different quarterbacks, a handful of different offenses and situations. I mean, you probably got one more chance at getting a big bite of the apple and going out and getting paid. So if there is somebody that we're going to talk about contract year being undefeated, Hollywood Brown should be near the top of the list. Do you guys know what a 85 catch, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdown season could really do for Hollywood Brown? Him emerging as a potential number one or a number two for somebody and going off and getting that Juju Smith-Schuster contract that he ended up getting $20-something million guaranteed. There's a lot of reasons, a lot of incentives for Hollywood Brown to go out and have a very productive 2025.
I agree with you. That is very big for him individually. And I hope he does go get the bag. There is almost no chance he's an 85 for 1,100 guy in Kansas City. None. I think there's a better chance I'm an 1,100-yard guy for Kansas City this year. Like, unless massive injuries have taken place, do you see a path to that for him? Like, the year Juju did that, Juju was the number one wideout, and Travis Kelce also had a historic season. And after that, it was Juju time. With this team, there's a lot more quality to spread the wealth around to. I think his season is going to mirror more. What was that one year? McCole Hardman had like 700 yards and fans got all in a froth. But they had Kelce and Hill.
That was his rookie year too, yeah.
They had Kelce and Hill getting catches ahead of McCole Hardman. That's how I feel this year is going to go for Hollywood Brown. And I'm not trying to discount or say he's not good. He feels like a role player, not a star. Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, a notch below Travis Kelce, those are your guys. And Hollywood Brown feels like that McCole season. Get in where you fit in, and the numbers will be nice. But I think that mega payday where he has 1,100 and, wow, can you believe what he did in Kansas City? We have to go pay him like Juju. I don't think that's coming at all for Hollywood.
I'm with you. I'm not that optimistic about him. If you were telling me right now, if I could play the hypothetical button game and I could press the button, I would take Sammy Watkins' 2019 season for Hollywood Brown. In 2019, Sammy Watkins had 52 catches for 673 yards and 3 touchdowns. If that's what you get from Hollywood this season, I think you're very, very happy with that. If Hollywood has almost 700 yards, you're anticipating Rashee Rice being back, being healthy, being productive, Xavier Worthy taking the jump from year 1 to year 2, maybe the final season of Travis Kelce. You get back a very viable running game that really wasn't productive for you for large stretches of last season. If you're telling me that right now you can pencil in 700 yards and a handful of touchdowns of contribution for Hollywood Brown, I think as a Chiefs fan, I think you'd be more than happy to end up siding with that. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by the Kansas City director of the World Cup. We are a year away from the World Cup coming here to Arrowhead Stadium. Coming up on the other side, JJ Piccolo was on the station earlier. We'll play the best of that for you. You can hear what he had to say. Keep it right here, so Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by the Kansas City director for the World Cup. We are a year away. Rob is so excited about the World Cup. Even with it being a year away, he's talking to me about it, talking to me about United States soccer. He's really setting himself up for a heartbreaking disappointment. He sounds like me in the promo talking about Mizzou. Mizzou beats Florida. I'm convincing myself this is the year. They're going to San Antonio. They didn't do that. They went to Wichita and lost in the first round. That's where they went. But Rob's excited. So we're going to talk some World Cup coming up in the top of the hour. Before we do that, I would like to play for you guys JJ Piccolo. JJ Piccolo was on the midday show. Certainly a lot of things to talk to the general manager of the Royals about. JJ was asked, how does he think that the players-only meeting went with the team on Saturday?
Well, I think it depends on the content of the meeting and how it goes. You know, my understanding was this was a very positive meeting. There wasn't any finger pointing. It was just like, guys, we got to get going here. Like, we're underperforming right now. I think it can help, you know, because, again, that accountability piece is being voiced. But when it really comes down to it, you still got to play the game. You know, right now we're not playing as aggressively as we typically do. That was one of the things last year. You all remember the boys are playing some ball. That was a mantra because we were playing great defense. We were running the base as well. We were getting runners in, and the boys were playing some ball, you know, and that's something that has to happen on the field. You can verbalize it all you want, but at some point it has to become actionable. But having a meeting like that where the leaders speak up and the veterans speak up is a step in that direction because we're acknowledging that we're not doing those things and we need to get back to it.
You mentioned the coaching, and I think when an offense is performing the way you guys are right now and really have for the entirety of the season this point in time, folks outside the organization look at the players first and foremost, but then they also start looking maybe at the hitting coaches and the philosophy in terms of the organization when it comes to that. You still have plenty of confidence in where your approach is as an organization and with the hitting coaches in place right now?
I do. I mean, we've known these guys for a lot of years. They've done a wonderful job. I mean, you know, two of the three that are in the trenches every day, we're with these guys going through the minor leagues. They've built relationships. They have trust in each other. Players have trust in them. You know, they feel it just as much as the players do, and they want to, you know, wave the magic wand and try to figure out what each guy needs. But really, it's just staying positive right now, understanding the history between the coaches and the players, and the reminders. Nobody knows our current hitters as well as the guys in our batting cages every day. I mean, they live with them every day. They understand their swings. They understand what makes them tick. And now it's just a matter of trying to tweak some things here and there, but also stay positive. You know, you've got to stay positive through these tougher times. And I know we have the right guys that will stay positive and they put the work in every day. You know, I can tell you this, today in Texas is not going to look any different than last year in Texas as far as the energy and the positivity and our processes. But now the challenge is a little bit greater because the confidence is wavering a little bit. But all it takes is one little good run offensively to get that confidence back and you just go play baseball.
We're talking to J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. So with that said, you know, there's some reports out there that you guys are looking for some outfield help. Now, that isn't just because the trade deadline's the end of July, and obviously it could be an active one late, doesn't mean that that moves won't happen earlier, of course. So are you guys currently looking to add to this team still and be aggressive?
Yeah, well, I think we're just trying to monitor things. I mean, nobody seems to be very active right now. I know we had the big trade the other day, and that was a very unique trade for a lot of reasons. But, it doesn't seem like teams are actively shopping players right now. So you just keep evaluating things. And what we've tried to do is let's look internally. You know, what do we have internally that maybe can pick us up a little bit? And it may not be the big bopper like, Devers being traded. But if we can add to our offense and improve on the margins, improve our defense, improve our base running, we're going to explore that first because there doesn't seem to be a market right now where there's an outfielder available. So guys are getting opportunities right now, whether it's John Rave, Jack Caglione, they're all getting opportunities to play. And then it gives us more time to evaluate who they are and how they can impact this team in 2025. So all that's coming into, our thoughts, our processes, and really until you get somebody that is, clearly going to be trading an outfielder, we can talk about all we want, but we can't force another team to make a trade.
Understand your positioning, of course, in the standings can change drastically from this week to 3 weeks from now, but when you look outside the organization, though, and you at least try to maybe start those conversations, are you guys looking to make a deal or a player that can help you beyond 2025? Or is this an organization right now that's in a position that would still be willing to make a move if it only impacts 2025?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. I mean, I guess the best way to answer it is the preference is always to have control. I mean, that more years of control certainly benefits your organization. But when it comes down to it, who are the pool of players that are actually going to be traded and what do their contracts look like? And when we get to that moment, I could better answer, a rental player is all that's available. But you always set your sight, at least we do, on players that have more than a year of control. That was what we followed last year. Doesn't mean that's what we're going to do this year, but so much of it depends on the pool of players that are available that will help us shape that answer.
There's a report out within the last hour, so I hate to put you on the spot a little bit here, JJ. That Mark Healy had a report in the last hour and a half or so that he's hearing Royals ownership has, I guess, told you to start thinking about trading some veteran talent. I guess your reaction to that is that, have you had those conversations?
Unequivocally false. That is as false as can be, and the accountability of that writer should be in question.
As far as who makes the final call, is it in the front office with you, JJ, and the scouts? Is it ownership as far as the direction? How often do you guys have those conversations? Like, all right, do we push all in? Do we kind of wait? Who kind of makes that decision?
Well, ultimately it'll be myself, along with ownership, their thoughts on the team, but it'll be myself. But if you sat with us over the last three games, from the first inning to the fourth inning to the seventh inning, the conversation kept shifting. The emotions of the game get you thinking different ways. But ultimately, it'll be baseball operations decision. And we always have good discussions with ownership, and just because we want them to be aware of what we're thinking and, collectively make a great decision.
That was J.J. Piccolo as he was on the Midday Show earlier today. I highly encourage you to check out the entirety of the interview over on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. All right, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by Pam Kramer. She is the CEO of the Kansas City World Cup Initiative. We'll talk to her about how things are going and how excited they are for the World Cup to be coming here in a year. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll also talk about the Royals as they are back in action today in Arlington against the Texas Rangers. Keep it right here, so drive.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.